Do you know that you are the lucky winner? Do you know that? Do you feel pretty lucky? I feel pretty lucky right now. I don't know if you feel pretty lucky. You have been given the golden ticket. Yeah, every one of you. And do you know what that golden ticket is? Being embodied on earth right now. You got a pass to earth school, and the word is from the higher dimensions that this is an amazing opportunity that you've been given at this time. We could be flying through the cosmos right now as free spirits, and that sounds really fun, actually, and tempting a lot of times, right? But the truth is, we were given a pass that said, you know what? You are hand-picked, this soul, your soul, hand-picked to be here right now. And it is an incredibly meaningful, amazing time to be here because we are on the evolutionary train for humanity right now. Big stuff is happening. You know, we used to say, you know, we imagine the critical mass, right? Someday we'll get to this point, we'll have this critical mass and the shift will happen. It's already happening. We're in it. Isn't that exciting? And you got the pass. You got the golden ticket. You got a body to say, come on down to the third dimension. They say there's like 9 or 12 dimensions or something like that of our being a possibility, right? And we were willing to go into this great earth experiment and say, what if we went into a density of third dimension? And I bet everybody went, oh, no. Who could do that? I'll try. And you know what? We all raised our hands and said, I'll try. And we got the pass. That is very special. It is very special that we are here right now. And have you ever come to realize in your lifetime, like you had this moment where you kind of got a brush with your spiritual truth and you had this, wow, I am really a lot bigger. I am a magnificent being. Have you ever had those moments, those awakenings, those like glimpses of the light that you are and thought, whoa, and I feel so limited by this body and this physical world where things move a little bit slower. Have you ever had like any, I don't know, maybe it wasn't that dialogue exactly, but do you know what I mean? Some resistance to being here. Maybe we'll just put it simply like that. I remember sitting with Panache Desai once, the spiritual teacher, and I was sitting across from him and he was talking about our magnificence and our, you know, amazing spiritual beings that we are. And I was just getting so like, oh, but but how can we cram this incredible spirit into this, you know, box and keep it contained like this? And he said, you have to love it all. That has stayed with me and come back to me time and time again. We have to love it all. That's why we're here, to love it all. That's why we are in a body, so we can love our body, so we can love other bodies, so we can love each other, so we can bring love, infuse the earth with love. Love the animals, love the plants, love each other, love the cosmos, love Mother Earth, love it all, love every part of our own beings. Stop criticizing ourselves. Every time we criticize and judge, whew, the energy goes down. It's an instant falling off the joy of the space that we were all just in the music, right? This music just is crescendoed. You could feel it. You can feel the energy lifting. You can feel everybody, oh, enlarge my territory. Yes. That feels right. That feels true. That's resonating with me. I'm saying yes to that. That's my prayer too. Thank you, Jabez. It's my prayer too. And I'm feeling, did you feel that expansion? Did you feel almost like your territory was not just almost, it was, your territory was enlarging just now. And then we walk a couple more steps and we think some judgmental thought. And we think, I'm kind of flabby. Right? What's that blemish? When we look in the mirror, you know? Just, I'm looking kind of old these days. And we start these tapes, right? About ourselves, about our own bodies, about each other. And it's like, we know better than this. We've been doing this for a long time. We've got spiritual maturity in spades sitting in the house and watching online right now. We've been down this road probably many lifetimes. So let's just knock it off. Right? Let's just stop it, you know? Just, yeah. And when we find ourselves in those spaces where other people are still doing a lot of that, we can either raise up the vibration, or if that feels like too much energy right now, walk away. Because we're on the fast train now. You know, this is evolution. It's happening, and it's happening fast. And we want to be a part of this. We have that golden ticket. You know, back when I was sitting with Panache Desai, and I didn't really realize then what I am starting to realize and appreciate more and more every day is the truth that we've been given this golden ticket, is the truth that that being embodied right now is a very special pass to Earth School, and that the reason why I'm here, you're here, and we're all here is because we are here to aid in humanity's evolution. We are taking a huge leap in our spiritual evolution right now, and we get to be a part of it. It's our collective divine purpose. You don't have to bang your head up against the wall anymore going, what's my purpose? Does anybody do that? I got to get my purpose. Time's running out. This is it. Love it all and recognize that you are here to aid in humanity's evolution at this moment right now that is profound and happening, and you got the golden ticket. You got to be here now. Wow. That alone is enough of a purpose for all of us to rally behind, for all of us to begin to engage in, and for us to stop the ways in which we are draining our energy and keeping ourselves weighed down. Today we're in a new series, Humanity's Evolution, and we are going to look at the heart of love and the peace of mind, but today it's all about the body of light. Did you know that your body is made of light? You might just think, well, that's just spiritual talk. Nope, it's also scientific talk. That's what our body is made of, a bunch of elements. And why does that man, I think it's a man, look like he's full of stars? Because we are. The elements that the stars are made of are what our body is made of. The planetary scientist and stardust expert Dr. Ashley King said, it is totally 100% true that nearly all the elements of the human body were made in a star, and that many have come through several supernovas. That just gives me chills to think about, right? That really, we're not just, it's not like hocus pocus. Like, we're not just going around, oh, we're made of star. It's not funny. Well, I mean, it's great. It's joyful. But it's true. It's true. I mean, that is stunning. We're just a bunch of stars. When we say go out and shine your light, it's not just like some kind of platitude. It's like literally we're saying, be who you are. Remember who you are. You're a star. I mean, when we look at the sky, don't we just all go, oh, what's that? Oh, look at that. See, that's right. I mean, we're just in complete awe and wonder, right? Look at yourself that way. Can you? Yes, of course you can. Will you? Will you? You know, there's this wonderful story that's told in all three synoptic gospels. It always gets extra attention for me when it's in multiple gospels because it just feels like it lends extra credence to the story. And in Matthew, Luke, and Mark, the story is told of Jesus' transfiguration. What happens is he brings Peter, James, and John, three of his disciples, they represent faith, love, and wisdom. Always good to bring faith, love, and wisdom with you when you're about to do something important. And they go up to the high mountain. Whenever you read in the Bible or other scriptures, you can metaphysically interpret the high mountain is talking about a high level of consciousness. So they move together into a high level of consciousness. And what happens? Jesus reveals his body of light. He shows what he and we really look like. And they say that his face transfigured and shone like the sun, and his garments were as if a lightning bolt had just come through. They were that bright. And here's to the credit of Peter, James, and John, regular folks like you and I, they could see it. They had the eyes to see it. And then, as if that weren't enough of spiritual experience, Elijah and Moses show up, spiritual ancestors. And Peter, James, and John immediately know who they are. They never met these guys in person, but they immediately know this is Elijah and Moses talking with Jesus. So this amazing thing is happening, right? This experience of seeing the truth. And then Peter kind of misses the point. And he says, Rabbi, it's a good thing we're here. We should build a dwelling for you and Elijah and Moses. Right? So what is, you know, Peter's trying to wrap his head around it. And actually, in Luke, it actually parenthetically says, Peter didn't know what he was saying. And he didn't, right? He didn't know what he was saying. He didn't really know what to do with it. So he wants to ground it. He wants to physicalize. He wants to make it more dense. He wants to put them each in a dwelling so they can be together forever. But he's not, he's, you know, and it's kind of sweet in a way because it's an honor. He wants to honor these luminaries, but he's missing the point. And sometimes this is what happens to us. We have these amazing spiritual experiences. And then we just kind of, I don't know exactly what we do because there are all different kinds of experiences and moments, but that same kind of idea that we miss the point. We miss the point of what just happened, what we just experienced, and we begin to downplay it and we begin to want to, you know, just kind of put it in a structural box that we can put our heads around. But this isn't meant for us to put our brains around. We are part of the divine intelligence of the universe. And so when we are in these spaces, it's the divine intelligence of the universe with which we are understanding things. It's a whole different level. And it's a level we are beginning to, and we will begin to more and more play on. It's exciting times. It is so exciting to know that the shift has already happened and that we are in it. Now, does that mean everything's perfect from here and it's Eden? No. In fact, the rubber hits the road, right? When evolution, when we realize, ooh, the big shift, it's happening. We're in the big shift. So that means all the stuff that needs to spin out of the big shift is going to spin up, spin out. You know, things might hit the fan, so to speak, right? And so it's okay. It's okay. It's okay because it's happening and because we were given the golden ticket and we're supposed to be here and we're remembering who we are. And the more we remember who we are, the more we shine our light, the more we open our hearts to the love that we have come here to be, the greater and more speedily this will happen. Yeah. I know. It's kind of funny when I lose my place, Mario. So Charles Fillmore talked about this transfiguration. What's it all about? And he said that the process of the submerged Christ coming into life again in human consciousness is of deep metaphysical import. And that's what happened in the transfiguration, and that's what's happening for us. The submerged Christ is reemerging. The second coming has been here, but we're catching up with it. Right? And so as the Christ reemerges again in human consciousness, we start to take notice. We start to take notice in ourselves that our territory is getting enlarged. We start to notice it in other people that their territory is getting enlarged. We start to hear about things that we've never heard about before. Has anybody heard of light language? We're going to have a workshop in August. You're going to get to experience light language. It's language from another. It's not necessarily, it can be human language, but it's usually the person who's bringing it through either doesn't speak that language and never has, or it's coming from another place. It's powerful, it's healing, it's transformative. I'm very excited to bring this woman here for you to experience. This is the kind of thing that's happening on earth right now. Do you remember Ida Risi Alit, who came here to do the water blessings and all that, the high priestess of Bali? She speaks light language. It was the first time I ever heard it. She didn't say that's what it was. She said, I think you will all understand what I'm about to say. And she began to like sing and speak, and it was beautiful. But it was something I'd never heard before, and she didn't know it as any particular language. That's what's happening on earth. We're speaking language of light. We are remembering we are bodies of light. We are transfiguring. I mean, this is just the beginning, folks. This is exciting times. I know it. I know it. So let's talk a little bit about what Charles Fillmore, more of what Charles Fillmore said about this idea of this re-emerged Christ and what is the transfiguration? What does it mean for our body? So there's two really wonderful resources we have in Unity, the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary and the Revealing Word. Charles Fillmore brought in Hebrew scholars to help him with the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, and he went through the Bible and picked all these proper names and gave the metaphysical, meaning beyond physical, the deeper meaning of them. And so it helps kind of, if you read some of these and then you read a verse and then you go back and you see what it could mean using this interpretation. And then the Revealing Word is another one that's similar. It's not proper names, it's other names. But he puts transfiguration in both of these texts. So let's take a look at both. In the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, it says, when we behold spiritual reality, and we see the body as it is in truth, refined and vitalized in every cell, quickened and harmonized in every function, transformed into a body of living, luminiferous energy, beautiful, strong, whole, young, eternal, incorruptible, a true center of the divine energy. Is that how you think of your body? I suggest we read that every day. And then he says this in the Revealing Word, which actually gives us a little practical thing at the end. A supernatural change of appearance that takes place as one experiences the full flow of divine power through their being. A lifting up of the soul that electrifies the body, causing it to shine. An example held by every follower of the Christ of the glory it is possible to experience through habitual uplift of life and thought. It's always a lot to take in Charles Fillmore, but it's habitual uplift of life and thought. That's what he gives us the how-to. Habitual uplift of life and thought. We know this, we've heard this, we've practiced this, and we forget this. Let's not forget anymore. We don't have to forget anymore. We don't have to put our light under a bushel basket anymore. Hallelujah. Because we are in the company of other beings. It's safe now. There's belonging. We are in company of other beings that are waking up at high levels. And we are all enlarging our territory together. We are in good company. Don't be shy. Let's not be shy about it, about who we are and who the people around us are and who everybody is that we meet. So how do you uplift your life and thought? Or, you know, in what ways do we look at that? Specifically today, we focus our message on the body. So how do you uplift your body and life and thought? You might consider, how do you feed your body? I mean, do you feed it with healing energy? You can come to Healing Night, first Wednesdays, Reiki, second Wednesdays, and be in the midst of that healing energy. Maybe you do body work or other things that give you that kind of connection with healing energy, reminder. Do you rest your body? Do you care for your body? Rest it. Do you get sleep? Do you re-energize it in nature with meditation or movement? Do you consistently or consciously interact with the elements? Like when you're drinking water, do you realize you're drinking like what you're partly made of is water? And so it's like that just slowing down that consciousness. Remember Masaru Emoto, the Japanese teacher who did all the experiments about water. And so when we consciously... I'm sorry, I'm going off on all kinds of tangents, but and then people are like, wait, what? Who? he did some experiments where they prayed over water, and then they looked at the water in the microscope, and the crystals were beautiful, like snowflakes, when they said positive things. And when it got negative things, it was like brown and mucky and gray and blurry And so they were basically proving that how we approach, whether we uplift in thought or we downshift in thought, that the effects are shown on a physical thing, on an element of who we are. And so, too, it is true of our bodies. So what do you feed? What kind of fuel do you put in your body? Do you give it high-octane fuel? Or do you give it like a lot of crud that's going to weigh it down? And what do you say to your body? This might be the most important one of all, right? What do you say to your body? What's the dialogue? Do you uplift it with gratitude? That's what Myrtle Fillmore did, you know, when she healed herself. She just went into meditation. She had disease, and she went into meditation, and she just blessed her body like we did in meditation, giving thanks for all the organs, the tissues, and so on, and asking forgiveness for the ways that she had maybe mistreated or misthought about her body or spoke about her body, and she was healed. It really is simple. And I'm going to say now, it's not even that it's not easy. It is easy. We could do this. We can do this. We get distracted. We let ourselves get distracted, but we don't need to do that. We've got a lot of supportive energy around us now to move ahead, to move forward, to shine our light, to be who we are, to embody this, to enlarge our own territory. Paul is still asking, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? That your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you. And what is a temple? A temple is a place of sacredness, right? A temple is a place of connection. A temple is a place of prayer. A temple is a place of devotion and inspiration and praise. That's what we do in the temple. So why would we not do that in this temple? Because every time you interact with your body, which is constant, right? You went to temple. What'd you do in temple today? Oh, I swore. I took some drugs. Really? What temple do you go to? Oh, I have something here, but it didn't print well. Oh, yeah, okay. I do want to tell you about this. When Jesus comes down the mountain after the transfiguration, and I imagine the disciples are just kind of like, what just happened? And they go into, you know, of course, there's always the masses, right? And there's always healing to be done. And this man comes up to Jesus, and he asks for his son to be healed. And the man kind of questions whether Jesus is able to do it, and Jesus questions the man's faith, and he just says, you don't believe? And the man cries out, I believe, help my unbelief. That is my prayer. Maybe it resonates for you as your prayer. Because we do believe. we do believe, as we are talking about this, I can see heads nodding. I can see that sense of, we know this. This is resonant. This is like, yeah, I got this. I know this. In the truth, in my truest being, when I'm aligned, I know this is true for me. I know this is about me. I know I am evolving. I know I am here to aid in the evolution of humanity. I know it's special that I'm here. I know I'm made of light. I know I'm made of love. I know I'm here to shine. I know I'm here to love. This is all known territory, isn't it? You got this. We've got this. But there are little places where we don't believe. And so the prayer is, I believe. I get it. I resonate. This is true. I'm on the train. I'm evolving. I'm evolving with humanity. I know what's happening. I can feel it's happening. I belong in this. I'm here with my family making this happen. But there's a little part of me that sometimes doesn't believe. Help me with that. Because I'm moving, but I need some help sometimes. Ask and it is given, right? Ask and it is given. So the time is now. The time is upon us. And we are not moving at the speed of Moses. Moses evolved over 120 years with a lot of time in the desert. That is not where we're at anymore. We're moving more like the speed of Elijah. Do you remember how Elijah went? In a chariot of fire with two horses of fire, boom, into heaven. It's that kind of movement into heavenly consciousness. If that scares you, that speed of light scares you, then take some stock in this or some comfort in this. Elijah... After him came Elisha. And Elisha, they're both prophets, right? Elisha got a double helping of Elijah's spirit, but was a gentler soul. And then Jesus came after Elisha, and we know Jesus probably best of all, right? Loving, gentle, kind, also direct, powerful, strong. Right? A truth teller, a healer, but also with that kind of gentleness of spirit. Guess who comes after Jesus? You. Yep. Raise your hand or point to your heart. It's me. It's me. I'm next. I'm here now because I'm next. You are the second coming of Christ. And you're not alone. You're not alone. He was alone. We're not alone. That's important to know. We have all this energy behind us. We have the cosmos singing their support for us in every direction. The little elemental beings out in nature, they're praising for us our success. And all of it, everywhere, everywhere present, the seen and the unseen, rallying for our success, knowing that we are in this very special time of evolution. So let's remember together in this very important time that we have been given a golden ticket, and that golden ticket is this body. And let's take care of it. Take care of your body. I mean, there are practical things we can do, right, to take care of our body. And they are many of the things we have talked about. The rest, the fuel, the movement, and so on. You know what to do. Most of all, when you look in the mirror, instead of all the stuff that you normally say, oh, maybe you look in the mirror and say, hey, good looking. What you up to today? You look like a divine being. How shiny you are. You know, maybe you say those things. And maybe you say some of the other things I said earlier. I'm not sure. Maybe both. But when you find yourself looking in the mirror, look out of the periphery of your vision and notice maybe Jesus is standing there in his body of light and he's saying, you're looking in the wrong mirror. If every time we looked in the mirror, we went, oh, wait a second, I'm looking in the wrong mirror. And look instead at the truth of who you are, already transfigured, shining like the sun, radiating like a star that you are. Let's be it. Let's do it. Let's be kind to our amazing vehicles of evolution. Let's speak this together. My body is a sacred temple made of stardust. I let my body of light shine. So it is.